13 is where we will start our message this morning. But in keeping with our evangelistic thrust this month of July, reminding the believers of our responsibility, the saved saving the sinners. In other words, one of the things you got to be mindful of the fact is that you must be a saved person to be able to help save others. You've got to show others that I once was like you. I haven't always been what I am. I haven't always been where I am. I haven't always done what I'm doing, but it was by His grace. And so you have got to have a testimony to share with others, because it is a part of your personal experience. I want us to look at, again, Psalm 51, 12, and 13. When you have it, say amen. Begin reading now, verse 12.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach the rest of thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Come on, son.
My salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Verse 13 says, Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, I'm not perfect, just pardoned. I'm not perfect, just pardoned. Any witnesses in the house? Let me first say, David was not perfect. He was a great man, but he was not a perfect man. But he was a passionate man. He was passionate in his about the Lord. He was passionate about life and living. He was passionate about love. David was a passionate man. David was not perfect, but he was a persistent man. He was persistent in his prayers to God. He was in persistence. He was persistent in his pardon from God for his sins. He was persistent in his praise to and for God through songs and thanksgiving. David was not a perfect man, but he was a powerful man.
All right, sir.
He was powerful in his position as king. There was none other in the history of Israel like King David. He was powerful in his purpose. He loved the Lord. He learned from the Lord. He lived for the Lord. And he led the people of God. He was powerful in his pursuits.
Yes, sir.
What we know is that David, he chased after, he desired, he longed, he wanted the heart of God, and he pursued it with everything in him. David was not a perfect man, but he was a pardoned man. This Psalm 51 comes from the effects of David's sin with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, David the king of Israel, who committed adultery and then turned around and multiplied that by murdering the man that he committed adultery with, his wife. He was a major figure in Israel. He was the epitome of God's grace, taking him from nothing and then elevating him to the top seat in the kingdom. He was a serious candidate for the poster boy of God's grace. And yet, he did this horrible thing. What's interesting about this is, you know, when sin gets a hold of us, sometimes we become so comfortable that we don't recognize how harmful and hurtful it is in our souls and to our sovereign God.
Come on, sir. One
thing we must recognize is this, that all of our sin is against God. One day the prophet Nathan came to him. Scholars say it was about a year after he had done this horrible thing. And Nathan told him my story. And he said, King, I want to share something with you. There was a man that had one little ewe lamb. Just one precious little lamb. And he himself had many, many, many lambs. But he took this man's one and only ewe lamb and slayed it. And in the midst of Nathan telling David about this, because David still had a heart for justice, he had a heart for righteousness.
Yes,
but he was looking outward and not inward. And he became furious at what Nathan was telling him, how low down, how ungodly, how cruel, how mean could this man be to take that man's only little ewe lamb when he has multiple lambs he could choose.
All right, sir.
And he became infuriated. And after becoming infuriated, Nathan said, sir, you are the man. Second chapter of Samuel, chapter 12, verse 13, 2 Samuel 12, 13. David says this, I have sinned against the Lord. He finally recognized when confronted with this truth that he was the sinner. You know, sometimes position and power makes you think you can do anything and get away with it. And then sometimes you've been getting away with stuff so long, you think it's all right. And so here he was confronted with someone God had revealed to him. Since David did not pick this up in his own spirit as strongly as he should have, God sent someone to remind him of his sin. That's what God does every Sunday morning. He'll give someone a word to tell someone, get your life together. All your sin is against God. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said, I got good news.
Good news.
The Lord has removed your sin from you, and you shall not die. I'm trying to tell somebody here, if you just accept him, the penalty of your sin has been paid by his son. And all you have to do is confess that I am a sinner and I need the saving grace of God, which comes through Christ Jesus, and God will save you. In other words, the penalty of your sin will be paid by the Son of God in full. Look at David now. David is writing this psalm, and it is after this experience. It is after he has come to himself. Isn't it strange that there are situations that happen to us that has to make us come to ourselves before we'll admit we aren't what we ought to be? Don't matter what you look like, don't matter what you act like, the truth of the matter is only the truth will make you free. Verse 1 of that 51st Psalm. Listen at the passion. Mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness. That means unending, unfailing love. He sees God in this way. When he says, with thy loving kindness, it means with God's unfailing love. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies.
Yes, Lord.
Talks about how God's pure, true compassions are multiple. As many as the sins that we have committed, so much more are the compassions of God, the mercies of God. That's why no matter how far you've fallen, how much you've done, how wrong you are, you can never go past the mercies of God. In other words, no matter what you've done, if you come and truly repent, God has enough mercy to soothe your case. That's why no man, regardless of how bad he has missed it, has a right to say, I can never be saved, if he's willing to confess his sins, repent of his sin, turn away from him, and come to God as his Savior. God will turn his life around. In verse 1 and verse 2, I just want to pull this out right quick. He goes on to say, blot out my transgression. The word blot means to remove, to scrub, to take away. It literally means, it's an accounting term. And accountants, when someone owed them something, they had a record book. And they do one of several things. One, they'd either draw a line through the name and the debt as a blotting out.
All right.
Or they, when they wanted to remove the person from the debt, they would either blot that person's name out on that line with a dark substance, either black or a deep, 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 almost purple kind of coloring, so that their names or their old debt was not viewed anymore. Or thirdly, they would take the page of that person's debt and tear it out of the record book. In other words, blotting out had to do with removing that record from me. Now, I want you to go on to verse 2. It says, what? Wash me how? Thoroughly. What? From mine iniquities. And what else does he say? All right, now look, there are three words David is using here. One in verse 1 is transgressions. Two is iniquities. And three is sin. Now, all three of those are against the word, the will, and the way of God. But let me show you how they differ. When you say transgression, transgression means to go past, go beyond, cross the line of God's law. In other words, you can't have folk who trespass or transgress unless there is a law. In other words, when you know the word of God and choose not to do the word of God or the will of God or the way of God, that means you have chosen to go past, to go beyond, to go over the line, cross the line. Iniquity means twisted or perverted. Vainness, foolishness, nothingness. Twisted or perverted, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness is the idea of iniquity. Sin carries the idea of either missing the bullseye or falling short, where you don't even hit nothing on the board. You just fell straight before you ever got to the board. Now, all three of those, David has said he was guilty of. I'm guilty of crossing the line because I knew better. I'm guilty of perverting and twisting your will because, again, I knew better. And then thirdly, I'm guilty of sin because I willfully walked in disobedience and fell short and missed the mark that you set for me to hit. Does that make sense to anybody? So when David says this now, he goes on in verse 3 and says, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Listen at him confessing now, being real. You see, one of the problems is if you won't admit you done wrong, then how do you expect God to forgive you? He says, I acknowledge. I'm not trying to act like I'm holier than thou. I'm not trying to act like I'm perfect. I have messed up.
All right, doctor.
And I acknowledge I've messed up. Now, this is what he goes on to say. Verse 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this great, what? Evil in thy sight. That's what 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 records, that David says, I have sinned before God. Now look at what he goes on to say. I acknowledge all of these things, and I have done this great evil in thy sight. But he goes on to say that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest.
Yes, yes.
Verse 5. Behold, focus in, God. I was shapen.
Yes.
I was formed.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
I was fashioned. I grew up in and was groomed in twisted and perverted things. How many of you know you're a product of your surroundings?
Yes, 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 yes.
A lot of things you learn to do, you live with, and a lot of that, unless you choose to do differently, become a part of your life's experience. He says, and not only that, God, not only have I done some twisted and perverted things, but I want you to remember this. In sin, did my mother conceive me?
Yes, Lord.
He says, listen, God, listen. I was messed up from my mother's womb. And then when I got out of her womb, I was living in a messed up situation. So I'm not acting like I'm perfect, but I do want you to know my atmosphere, my surroundings have contributed to part of my problem. And how many people today honestly will say that your situation wasn't perfect? Your people weren't perfect, but yet your God is perfect. And it's a choice you make to live on the lower level or to live on the higher level.
Yes, yes, yes.
Listen at this. He goes on in verse 6. What does he start off saying in verse 6? Behold what? Hold up. He says, behold, focus in, God. I was shaped in iniquity. Now he says, behold, Lord, again, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. The inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. What did David mean? Well, let's understand what he's saying here. He said, listen, all the way from my mother's womb, you were all about truth. Truth. In other words, from my early existence, from my being in its infant state, you were all about truth.
Come on, sir.
And not only that, but you also desired that I would know truth and walk in that truth. In the hidden part means in the secret places of my heart.
Yes, Lord.
You know that place where we keep most of our sins hidden and wrapped up and tied up and kept from others, but we can't keep from God. And so it's in that hidden place God wants me to know wisdom. Because if I know the wisdom in the inward parts of my heart, then it will come out in my life. In other words, when I learn that God has a plan for my life, and I can't hide from God. God is truth. God loves truth. God wants me to be true and live in truth. Listen, it goes all the way back. This references to like Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, when he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
Yes, yes.
And sanctify thee and ordain thee and made thee a prophet unto the nations. What was Jeremiah saying? God knew him to the point where even before his mama and daddy got together, God had already prepared him through them to be the ordained, anointed man of God, to bring forth his word to the people of God. You need to know, my brothers and sisters, I don't care who you are, God has purposed for you to be here. You are special to God. You have a special work for God. God didn't just save you to be saved. God saved you to help save others.
I like that, doctor.
Then he says, purge me, seven, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Come on, doctor.
Now, there are two thoughts here in this verse. When he says, purge me with hyssop, what he's saying is, God, don't just wash the outside of me. Clean me through and through.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
On the black market. You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Aw, you know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate. Eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit NEA.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
the gospel is on the radio.